It's our smart speaker series on this beautiful Tuesday. Joining us for our smart speakers today, Jamie Ellerton, founding partner at Canaptus and longtime political strategist. Karen Stintz, former city councilor and TTC chair, now the president and chief executive officer of Variety Village. And Matt Gurney, journalist and co-founder of The Line, an online magazine. So many smart speakers, as many smart speakers as Moore in the Morning had mayoral candidates today. Thank you, guys.
What? We could totally throw this off by just throwing our hats in.
You know what? We could double the number. You're right.
Anyone? Anyone?
No.
Okay. Well,
no, I'm not that crazy. I'm just saying we could.
Well, I'd love your thoughts on the names that came out here. So Mark Saunders, that name had been tossed around before, Councillor Josh Matlow, and then former Toronto Sun columnist Anthony Fury. Matt, you have thoughts on Anthony Fury throwing his name in the hat?
You know what? I've known Anthony for years. We've worked together before. We used to, in fact, work together covering municipal stuff. So obviously, he would know his way around some of the issues here. I would honestly just note, I think journalists and especially pundits sometimes struggle to make the transition from person commenting on politics to person doing politics. And look, we can think of examples of people who've made that transition well, but honestly, like I think these are very different skill sets. And for all I know, Anthony's going to win in a landslide and be amazing, but I'm just saying I would be terrible at it. And I don't want to project too much of that here, but I swear to God, I would be absolutely awful at executive leadership of a government or any kind of politics. If Anthony thinks he can do it, God bless him. It will be interesting to watch because you go from a job where a lot of the time it's your job to tell people bad news honestly to a job where a lot of the time it's to not say anything to anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Karen, your thoughts on these names. Mark Saunders, you've worked with Councillor Matlow. Were you surprised that he's made it official?
No, you know, I heard that Matlow was basically surveying the landscape, and if Olivia Chow threw her hat in the ring, that he may not. But it sounds like he's decided to go anyway. And, you know, certainly he's made his ambitions known. So it's not a surprise that he's going to run.
Mm-hmm. Jamie, any surprises? Did anyone catch your ears or your eyes today?
No, I think with both Josh Matlow and Anthony Fury, there's kind of a low stakes. They get to exceed expectations by just performing better because people don't know them. I think the real risky bet here is Mark Saunders, who's taking a high risk bet at redemption. He had a very rocky tenure as police chief. I remember there was the stat that 86% of members of the Toronto Police Association essentially voted non-confidence in his job as chief. And then, of course, was a failed candidate for the PCs in the last provincial elections in Don Valley West. So he clearly feels like he has something left to give. Giving back to the community and community service was a big part of his message today. But I think it's a real high-stake bet for him.
Mm-hmm. We had some listeners calling in saying he would be the name that resonated the most out of all of the candidates they heard on Moore in the Morning today. Matt, do you think that there's a large shadow following him? There's, as Jamie points out, the lack of faith in his own team members, but then there's also the Bruce MacArthur investigation. There's all of the data showing anti-Black racism.
You know what? I will be honest with you. I would like to think we lived in a city where those things would cast a shadow, but I don't think they would at all. I think the average member of the voting public, and I say this with love and respect and admiration, the average member of the voting public has a political memory of about 45 seconds. And Bruce MacArthur is a name that is going to sound to them to be vaguely familiar, and anti-Black racism, maybe they glanced at a headline in the news when that report was published. You know, there will be communities in Toronto who will remember these things, of course, but I mean, just if we just kind of take the aggregate voter out there, they're gonna go, hey, Mark Saunders, familiar name, I remember him. Didn't he used to be a cop or something? And then especially if he makes his campaign focused on public safety, there might be a lot of appetite out there for right now. And, like, you know, obviously he played that up a little bit in his remarks this morning on the show, where he was talking about Torontonians don't feel comfortable getting on the subway these days. So I don't know if he's going to be the lead candidate. But Reshma, you and I had been talking weeks ago about how he was actually a logical name. And when I mentioned that, I was just spitballing it. I was just thinking, hey, who would be a guy who could sort of run on a public safety platform? And his name came to mind. I kind of look like a genius all these weeks later. I just honestly rattled it off the cuff. I don't know if he'll win, but it could be interesting.
If he wins, you are going to claim it, aren't you?
Totally. Yeah, we're going to have to
I'm now kind of picturing you and Reshmi in studio holding your hand on that orb that, like, the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia and Trump did that photo op all these years ago as Matt predicts the future.
The only way we can get the microphones to work. If you let go of the orb, you just go to silence.
Well, I wouldn't have holding that orb thrown in Josh Matlow with a city works fund. He is actually pitching a tax increase, which we all know the city doesn't have a great revenue stream. We need to find money somewhere. I just don't know if campaigning on a tax increase is going to help him. His competition will hone in on that. Karen, from your perspective, former city councilor, what is the one key issue? Is it public safety? And does Mark Saunders have an edge on that?
So I do think the emerging issue will be one of, it's like the city has lost its way a little bit. And I don't want to overstate that metaphor that nothing seems to work. But, you know, the streets don't seem clean. The parks don't feel safe. Transit doesn't feel safe. You know, people don't, like, the downtown core is essentially gridlocked. And, you know, like, the construction projects aren't coordinated. So there's this entire sense that no one's leading the ship. And, you know, whether any of those candidates can actually seize the reins and make a strong case to be the guiding light that the city needs is something I don't really know. Because Matlow has spent his entire career fighting like a petulant child against decisions that he just didn't particularly like. And he continues on. And so he's not seen as one who's going to lead anybody forward. He's always seen to be the rallying cry against decisions that he didn't like. And, you know, I guess there's a role for that, because if you think someone made the wrong decision, you're going to fight to make it right. But at some point, you just get on board and you move with it, right? Because you can't keep unmaking decisions.
Yeah.
You know, and with respect to Mark Saunders, you know, there's no question he's Ford's candidate. And, you know, he's got the backing of Ford's former team. He's got, you know, the developers as partners, which means that he will be funded by developers. And so he's going to raise a lot of money, and he's going to get a lot of benefit from the Ford team. It didn't help him in his last campaign bid, and so we'll see how it plays out on a bigger scale.
Yeah, in Matlow's letter to Toronto, he says the leadership has held this city back from reaching its full potential. And maybe that's why he was fighting so much in City Hall. We do know that Councillor Matlow has been removed from council a few times. Some people would say for the right reasons. But Jamie, if you needed to get people to vote in this election, if there's going to be a slew of candidates here, what is the one message you get out to get people's attention coming up to June 26?
So I don't know what that message is yet, Reshmi, but I think when you look at the state of politics in this city, and I think the apathy that just permeates our politics at every level of government right now, we need people who are putting their name forwards, who are authentic and actually talking in, I think, reality as to what's going on in the city and how we fix it. I don't think there's a huge appetite for kind of like blame Ford or blame Justin Trudeau. People are looking for people who can take action and what they're going to do about it. I think the Matlow piece is kind of interesting today because he's clearly lining himself up on the left side of the political spectrum. After Mike Layton said he wasn't going to run, everyone assumed it was wide open. And then so Matlow kind of steps forward and people think he's going to inherit that kind of like Progress Toronto mantle, except now we hear that Olivia Chow, Jack Layton's former wife and former city councillor, former member of parliament, longtime activist in the NDP, is indeed putting a bid together. So Matlow kind of had to get out now and get people talking. A 2% tax raise, I don't think we need to raise taxes in this city, but if you think we do, that sounds reasonable and probably something you could warm to, and you appreciate the candor. And I think he's staking out that left flank. So this thing's wide open. Campaigns matter. We're 90 plus days away from the prospective voting date. City council hasn't even even pass the official motion and the bylaw to like create this by-election. So the campaigns are going to matter here. But in terms of the positioning out of the jockey jockeying for position out of the starting gate, I think there's a lot of interesting dynamics at play here today.
Great points made by our three smart speakers on the three new mayoral candidates. It continues on the other side. It's our Smart Speakers series. I'm Rashmi Nair with you. And joining me today, Jamie Ellerton, founding partner at Canaptus, longtime political strategist. Karen Stintz, former city councillor, TTC chair, now the president and chief executive officer of Variety Village. And Matt Gurney, journalist and co-founder of The Line, an online magazine. We just went through the new names vying for mayor of Toronto. And the other big political story is happening on Parliament Hill. There is election interference committee going on. It's been going on for months, really. But today, after weeks of efforting to get the Prime Minister's Chief of Staff, Katie Telford, to testify at this House committee, the Prime Minister's office put out a statement saying she will. She's agreed to appear at the Procedure and House Affairs Committee to make Parliament work. I'm going to offer to everyone here that when they say make Parliament work, it's doing what Jagmeet Singh tells them to do. Because the opposition, the Conservatives, put forward a motion saying, let's have our own committee, our own investigation, where Katie Telford is called to testify. And Jagmeet Singh would have voted for that. Matt, your thoughts on how this is all unfolded?
I think I basically agree. My analysis of what happened today, and I've been talking to people all day about this, and no one has yet told me I'm wrong, is that the NDP said to the Liberals, look, you can either give up on this stupid filibuster and Telford appears at the procedural committee where she was being called, or we're going to vote with the Conservatives in the House and she's going to end up appearing at the Ethics Committee. And there actually is a meaningful difference there. It's not just the names of the committees. The Liberals hold the chairmanship on the Procedure Committee. The Conservatives hold the chairmanship of the...
Matt just left the Zoom meeting. We're going to have to reconnect with Matt Gurney, but he was talking about where the Liberals and the Conservatives are. This could become very political, which it shouldn't, but we're saying that, Jamie, and it likely will be, right? People are going to just take pot shots at each other. What are you hoping to hear from the Prime Minister's Chief of Staff, Katie Telford, if anything?
Well, I guess the first thing we'd like to hear is answer to questions, because I think if we go back to when these reports started circulating, back in the fall, the Prime Minister effectively lied. And we know that because of what he said in the most recent months since the real torrent of reports came out this winter. And so I think when you look at who knew what and when and who took what actions, these are things that go to the core functioning of our democracy. And it's from these allegations, these reports, the allegations are that the Liberals have benefited from this Chinese interference. It's boosted their seat count and put more of Beijing's preferred candidates in the House of Commons. And that's obviously tremendously scandalous. And so if the Prime Minister's office received these reports and did nothing about it, that's bad. If the Prime Minister's office is lying, that's bad. This kind of goes to the heart of this whole issue in terms of how our democracies function and getting a full public inquiry that actually has the power to subpoena people and get people under oath to fully get out into the open what is going on here. I think if we look at the strength of our values, not to get too oaky about this, but like transparency and accountability go so far in a democracy. It's what allows us to have vigorous debates. It's what allows us to put forth ideas to make things better. And it allows us to kind of acknowledge the problems that we collectively as society need to grapple with. And so when the Prime Minister, for its own political benefit, is seen to just be burying things under the rug and telling us nothing to see here, that's the kind of thing that continues to erode confidence in our democratic institutions, which is why I think this is so crucial.
Right. It's the way Justin Trudeau handles things. It's not what is being handled, right? That opens up to all this criticism. And fair, Jamie, fair. But Karen, as a former politician, do you see what's coming down the pipe as tremendously scandalous for the Trudeau government? Or is this a nonpartisan issue that could impact many elected officials?
Yeah, you know, I think it's one of those complicated issues that ultimately will be lost on the public because it's got so many threads that are hard to follow. And I do think you're right. I think the implications are not just for the Liberal Party, but, you know, as we understand it, it's impacting municipal, provincial, you know, even the Ford government candidates. Like, it's widespread. But it does beg the question, if information was brought forward or not brought forward to the Prime Minister. What was the logic tree around that decision? And maybe there's a justifiable reason. I can't imagine what it is, but maybe one exists. But again, this is, and maybe that they just didn't consider the threat that serious, but the threat is serious. And I think that's why we're being discounted by our allies. So unfortunately, it's a complicated issue that has the ability to lose the public interest over time, but it's an important issue nonetheless. And so I'm glad to see that there is some positive movement on trying to get to the bottom of it.
All credit goes to Jagmeet Singh. I say Matt Gurney's re-entered the Zoom meeting.
Hey, guys, sorry about that. Technical issue. Or China kicked me out.
I think so.
Rashmi, the only point I would make is I think I agree with you. Credit to Jagmeet Singh. But to the point that we're going to give him credit here, I'd also like to know why he waited 2 weeks. Like, there was no reason he could not have put the hammer down on them weeks ago and moved this forward. Like, I don't know if we have time to waste here. One of the things that the Liberals have pointed out, I don't think they're wrong, is that if we went to an election right now, we would be heading into an election before we've had the opportunity to ask ourselves whether or not we need to be making our elections safer, more secure. I don't feel as though that we had weeks to waste here on partisan games. I don't know what the Liberals are doing. I kind of agree with Karen on that one. And Rashmi, to your point before, it's not always what they're doing. It's how they're doing this. They've beclowned themselves in recent weeks. It's been a disgraceful performance. I might have liked it if the NDP might have stepped up a bit earlier, tapped them on the shoulder and said, come on, guys, let's put a stop to this. We could have gotten that talking point today about making Parliament work. We could have made it work 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. It's going to be quite a show because the timeline's already been listed, right? David Johnston's going to report back in May and then in October. Should there be a greater sense of urgency, Jamie?
I think so. This is part of the government's failure in reacting here and trying to stonewall and get decisions. Like, this whole special rapporteur thing with David Johnston is made up and was designed to buy the Prime Minister time. There's nothing stopping the Prime Minister from making the decision as the head of our government to call a public inquiry. He doesn't need some eminent Canadian to tell him that. That's without even getting into the debate on the eminent Canadian side. I think one of the things that fundamentally actually changed on this regime in the past 24 hours is Mark Holland, the government House leader, actually gave kind of a clumsy answer to a question yesterday. And it essentially sparked this panic in Ottawa that the government was going to lose the confidence of the House of Commons. This is still a minority parliament, and that it was going to kick things into an election. And I think that kind of clumsy answer from Mark Holland is ultimately what moved the dial on this to get Katie Telford to agree to testify. And, like, let's be honest, she's going to go in front of this committee, and most of her answers are probably going to be the Canadian equivalent of pleading the fifth, except instead of invoking the U.S. Constitution, she's going to say the Secrets Act in Canada prevents her from talking about that publicly. And it's going to be an hour and a half of that over and over and over again.
But then there will be some hits that make it onto social media, and we'll all be sharing them, right? That's what we're looking forward to. Some quotable quotes. No? I'm just joking.
I think it's
friends.
What will happen. I'm not sure it's what we're looking for.
I know. Yeah. I'm trying to get our eyes out of you guys. We can't hear the eye rolls on radio. Appreciate you all so much. Thank you for making time for our Smart Speaker series. Matt Gurney, journalist, co-founder of The Line. Karen Stintz, former city councilor, TTC chair, now the president, CEO of Variety Village. And Jamie Ellerton, founding partner at Canaptus, longtime political strategist. I hope you all get to enjoy some of that sunshine out there. It is a beautiful Tuesday afternoon. Lots of politics to talk about, lots of stories to continue covering here. And we will. The next hour of The Rush starts in just a few minutes. Stay with us.